study this evening about temptation, what it does, when it happens, the seriousness of it, and what comes from it. There will be no deep theological truths that will be revealed this evening, I think. But I want to start out by reading from James chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted of evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Just think for a moment about a world without temptation. What if there was no temptation to do wrong? There was no temptation to transgress God's laws. What a great world this would be. There'd be no killing. There'd be no lying. There'd be no cheating. There'd be no need for abortion laws, I think, for sure. It would be a real utopia if there was no temptation on this earth, temptation to do wrong. There'd be no hatred, no jealousies, no petty malice, or anything like that. The practice of sin on this God-created planet began with temptation. God told Adam and Eve, do not eat the fruit. And that was it. Was the end of the subject. And they never questioned it. Then why did they fall to the power of temptation? Well, the answer to that is Satan. Satan knows how to trip us up. Satan's got a catalog of what your weaknesses are and what my weaknesses are. And he'll try at every interval to exploit those weaknesses. We've not sinned merely when we've been tempted. I had the thought for this lesson years ago because I heard someone comment that they felt so badly because they were tempted so much and tempted so often. Being tempted is not sin, though. It's sin. It becomes sin when we yield to the temptation, not when we've merely been tempted. I know that our Lord was tempted. We read in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, for he was in all points tempted just as we are. Think about that for a minute. Think about all the ways that you've been tempted maybe to do something that you shouldn't do. Sometimes maybe you beat that temptation. Maybe at other times you did not. Think about that, though, that our Lord Jesus Christ was tempted in all the ways that we've been tempted, yet he never yielded to that temptation one time. He remained without sin all through that. But it's difficult to think about, for sure. God wants us to lead and live calm and peaceful lives in his service. And why he doesn't desire that we be tempted, he will allow us to be tempted. That is the world we live in, and that is the God that we worship. Just like the question that comes up so often, why do bad things happen to good people? The answer is God does not make bad things happen to good people, but God will allow bad things to happen to good people because This is the world that he created. If you'll remember that reading that we had right at the top there, and it said, for when he has been approved. I've said before, Brother Kaufman said in one of his commentaries, he said, this is our probationary period. You've heard me say that before. And I believe with all my heart that that's correct. I think we're being tested here. We're on probation here to see if we can measure up to glory, to see if we can attain a home in heaven someday where we move on to the next level, someone might say. But he said, when we are approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. God allowed Eve to be tempted and then to tempt Adam. And he even started the blame game. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 12, he said, that woman that you gave to be with, he blamed it on the woman, that woman that you gave to be with me, she's the one that gave me that fruit. And blamed it on the woman. But there are all kinds of ways of shifting the blame toward God. After all, was he not the one that created us with all of these human desires and human lusts that we have? And I'll talk about that more before we get through. The first thing I want us to think about, though, is the part God plays in temptation. And first of all, as we read in our scripture, he cannot be tempted. We find that in James chapter 1 and verse 13, where James writes there, let no one say when he is tempted that he is tempted of God, because God cannot be tempted of evil, neither tempts he any man. I think it's comforting to know that the God that's going to judge us can't be bribed like some judges or like some of the witnesses that they brought in against Stephen back there in Acts chapter 6 and 7. It says there that there were suborned witnesses. It says in the New American Standard Bible, in the King James Version, they hired people. They hired wicked men to come in and to be a witness against Stephen, which led to his stoning and led to his death. But I think it's comforting to know that God cannot be subject to that. He cannot be bribed. He cannot be paid off at all. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it tells us that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He doesn't want us to yield to temptation. He wants us to beat that temptation down, to win against it at every time, because he wants us all to be saved someday. He has no desire to lie. He has no desire to deceive us. He has no reason to do that. Number two, God does not tempt man. Number one, God cannot be tempted. And number two, he doesn't tempt us. We must never harbor a thought in ourselves or support that notion in others that God tempted or caused temptation. Verse 13 tells us plainly that that would be a false accusation, that it's just not true. He said that God cannot be tempted, nor does he tempt anyone to sin. He does not tempt man. In James 1, verse 12, it says, for when he has been approved. It's a part of the Christian's approval process. You know, James said in James chapter 1, he said, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials or diverse temptations, knowing this, that the testing of your faith works patience. So the Bible tells us that being tested makes us stronger. makes us better workers for God, makes us stronger Christians in the kingdom. Number three, God's position is in part in warning. God has given us ample warning throughout his great book about temptation and not to fall from temptation and to draw near to God and to draw and he'll draw near to you and to resist the devil and he'll flee from us. And it just goes on and on and on. He's given us ample, repeatedly, temptation regarding or repeated warnings regarding temptation and the dangers of that. Number four, God limits our temptation. He permits it, but he won't allow Satan to place you in a situation from which you can't extricate yourself at all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, Paul writes, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man." In other words, you've not been tempted by anything that somebody else hadn't been tempted with before. He says, "No temptation has befallen you that is not common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with every temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." So no one can ever say, "God made me do it." The scripture says God gave you a way out of it. Not made you do it, but gave you a way out of it. Number five, we must never coddle or harbor temptation and the idea and the thoughts that comes along with temptation. When faced with temptation, we need to shake it off. We need to turn around and run just as fast as we can go. Get out of there. Go to another place. Don't stay there. We need to pray for our temptation. We need to pray for ourselves. Jesus showed us. He said, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." This is one of the most important components of that very short prayer in Matthew chapter 6 that's called that we call the Lord's Prayer. Next, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, Paul wrote, "By inspiration of God, abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good." In the original language, it meant to detest utterly. And the reason that word is used is because the thinking is that if we detest sin, if we detest that sin that we're tempted toward, if we detest it utterly, then we will run from it. We won't do it. We won't go around it. We'll take a different route. Lastly, and he delivers the godly. God brings deliverance to those who are following him, who are withstanding the temptations of this life. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 and 7, the prophet writes there, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." The prophet says God wants to heal us if we'll just turn to him. If we'll keep our eyes on him, he wants to heal us. Next, man is tempted. Why? His own lusts. That's what the scripture said. We are tempted when we're drawn away by our own human desires. Men and women have weaknesses that are inherent to men and women. And they're called lusts in the scripture. They're called human desires, the same thing. But they're called lusts usually. And that's what it's talking about in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. John writes there, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. These things are not of the world, are not of the Father, but they are of the world. Part of man. But we're not sinners because we're tempted. We're sinners because we yield. And do we bring it on ourselves? Paul wrote also in Romans chapter 13, verse 13 and 14, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. You know, I would like to just go around the room and ask everybody, what do you think that means? Well, I think what he means there is don't put yourself in compromising positions where you might be tempted, you might be taken advantage of, you might be overcome by Satan or overcome by some other force for sure. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. We're making provision for the flesh when we do put ourselves in those compromising positions where we go somewhere where illegal drugs are being used recreationally, when we go somewhere where alcohol is being consumed there, when people are doing things that we shouldn't be doing and they shouldn't be doing, then we're putting ourselves in a compromising situation, a compromising position that's going to make it much more difficult for us to win over that temptation that we have before us. Next, this is the part Satan plays in temptation. This is the secret of the tempter's power over us. And the key word is enticed. Enticed. Deliazo is the Greek word to entrap. It means to entrap, to ensnare someone. We literally become entrapped by our own desires. We become slaves to them. Satan's ability to entice or entrap us depends on our several and various weaknesses of will, depth of selfishness, greatness of pride, greed of vanity, feebleness of faith. Did you get those? Every one. Satan's ability to entice or entrap us depends on our several and various weaknesses of will, depth of selfishness, greatness of pride, greed of vanity, and feebleness of faith, lack of faith. Satan knows how to take advantage of our weaknesses. We all know that we just finished recently that series, which I thought was a great series, on Wednesday evening, Tactics of the Devil. The things in our lives that he will use against us. And certainly he does. So it's our own lust that causes us to be tempted. Satan enticed Eve with a lie. God told her, said, and on the day that you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. Satan said, you won't die. You're not going to die. He's just telling you that. He's lying to you. You're going to be as smart as him. That's the reason he doesn't want you to eat that fruit, because you're going to be like God. That's what Satan told her. Lust meshed together with enticement, and together they became sin, and they will for us just the same. There are all kinds of ways that people are enticed to temptation. Some are enticed to lie. Some are enticed to steal. Some are enticed to commit adultery. Some are enticed to homosexual behavior. One of the most central defenses of the gay and lesbian community these days to their lifestyle is to say, how can God be against me for being the way that he made me? Well, the answer to that is, we're all the way that he made us, and we all have our inherent weaknesses. And the question is, are we going to yield to those weaknesses, or are we going to fight against those weaknesses? So if the propensity to steal is something that I must suppress, the propensity to commit murder is something that someone else must suppress in their own life, then why is homosexuality something that we should be able to just go ahead and do? Because we're enticed to do that. Yes, we're all the way that God made us. And we can't blame him. As a matter of fact, that our scripture tonight is the answer to that. How can God condemn me for being the way that he made me? And I've quoted that to a fellow before, and I've shared that with you, that God cannot be tempted, nor does he tempt anyone. So don't blame God. He didn't tempt you to do this thing that you're doing. Lastly, when temptation becomes sin, it can be fatal. Temptation definitely leads directly to sin. Sin grows, it gains strength, it brings death. In James chapter 1 and verse 15, we saw that. It's a sad moment when one yields to temptation for the first time. No doubt about that. But it's tragic when it becomes full grown. It kills. Sin kills. You note the sin of Achan back there in the wandering years of the Israelites. He saw, he coveted, he yielded, he died. And many others died along with him as well. Sin kills our peace, kills our hope, kills our good influence. It kills our good usefulness in service. And worst of all, it kills our soul. Jesus asked, what does it profit a man if you should gain the whole world and lose your soul? Now, I've been saying that God permits our temptations. He doesn't cause us to be tempted, but he allows us to be tempted. And as I mentioned, it's part of our approval process. James writes the same thing. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials or temptations. James 1 and verse 2, knowing this, that the testing of your faith works patience, and let patience have her perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. James chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8 says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Perfect and entire is someone who, in part, has resisted the devil, and the devil has fled from him. Someone who is drawn close to God, and God drew close to him. With each small victory over temptation, we are adding to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge patience, so on and so forth, with those great Christian graces that we find in the book of Peter. We must be found approved. You see, in heaven, there will be no temptation. So we want to be approved. When we are approved, we will receive the crown of righteousness which the Lord has promised to all of those who love him, who follow him, who keep his commandments. I think it's good for us to just review these things every once in a while. What does the Bible say about temptation? What does the Bible say about temptation as it relates to God, as it relates to us, as it relates to the devil, and all of those things. We need to run When we find temptation coming our way, we need to turn around and leave, run just as fast as we can go and get away from it. Because staying there and harboring that temptation is certainly no way to be approved in judgment one day. There may be someone here tonight that is subject to the Lord's invitation. You've thought about it, and you've decided that today is the day. If there's anyone here that has any need of the invitation at all, won't you come now as we stand together and sing this song that Brother Stephen announced?